Amen. God bless you. Last week I started to give you some scriptures and teaching on being humble. And we were looking at this subject. And I want to reiterate what I said last week, because I'm going to build on what I was sharing last Sunday morning, is that being humble is not about building yourself up. It's not about making a name for yourself. That's pride. When you say that I've done it, I'm the best, I've achieved this, I've done this, I. All that is building yourself up and making yourself to be something, building your own ego. And that's pride. But then being humble isn't the opposite of that. When we say, oh, I'm so unworthy, I don't deserve anything that God will ever do for me. You know, why will God want to bless me? Why will he want to heal me? I don't deserve it. And you're making yourself so low. That's also pride. Because pride is, what you're doing is you're judging yourself on your own ability. What you do. You know, what humility is, I want to tell you this. So if you're writing down notes or you want to make a note, just write this down. Humility is measured in not in what you say about yourself. So humility is not measured in what you say about yourself. Humility is measured in whether you submit yourself to what God says about you. Now, when we humble ourselves under God, you know, we are embracing wisdom. When we humble ourselves under God, we are embracing wisdom. And wisdom will, but if we submit to God, God will say, okay, I'm going to bless my son, bless my daughter, I'm going to increase him, I'm going to raise him up, and we will get to that place where God will be pleased with what we do. Now, when we're building ourselves up, and I said last week about, you know, some people just want to be seen. Now, we've got to do things, but we've got to submit ourselves unto God. You know, the scripture says this. It says that whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. We do it as unto the Lord, not unto ourselves. Now, there have been many times, in my early days, and I must confess, when I was first starting off, you know, I thought, well, I did good. You know, I was good. But that's not humility. You know, what God says about us is what counts. And we're going to see from a man in the New Testament this morning who had that same attitude, that where he wanted to bring himself so low. Actually, it's not the other way there. He wasn't building himself up, he was making himself so low. And we're going to see what Jesus had to say about him. So if you come with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3. Now, while you're turning up that scripture, I want to make this point, because this is my definition of wisdom. You won't find this in the scriptures, but I put this together from studying the scriptures, finding out what the word says. So this is not a scripture I'm about to quote, this is my own definition of the word wisdom. And you'll find some of this in dictionaries, you'll find some of it in the word, but what I'm going to give you now, I'm stressing this is my definition. Now, my definition of wisdom is this. It's the ability to hear and accurately judge and then act upon God's principles for righteous living. So it's the ability to hear what God says, judge them accurately, and then act upon them. Now that's wisdom in my definition of wisdom. And I want you just to bear that in mind as we go through this morning. So Matthew chapter 3 verse 13. We have an account of John the Baptist. And in verse 13 it says this. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so for now. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now this is an interesting scripture, because here it says in verse 30, it says, Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. Now before we get into anybody sort of starts thinking anything wrong or anything false, let me stress this. Jesus did not need to be baptized. John was preaching a baptism of repentance of sins. Jesus didn't sin, he hasn't sinned, he has never sinned. He is perfect. He lived a perfect life. Now he did this as a man. Now it wasn't because he was the Son of God, he was a man, and he lived a perfect life. Even as a child, he did not sin. He didn't cause his mother any reason to chastise him or give him a slap on his bottom. He was perfect. Now I can't imagine a child not misbehaving. Because, you know, we're all born under sin, and right from little, they learn this inheritance that they try to push the boundaries. And they say, no, no. And they push you, and they push you, and they try to see how far they can go, and later on in life that starts to become blatant sin. But Jesus was never like that. He never needed to be baptized. So, because he was sinless, he came and he didn't need to be baptized. When he approached John, this is why we have this verse 14. It says that John tried to prevent him from being baptized. Jesus, no, you don't need to be baptized. In actual fact, he says, it's the other way around. He says, I need to be baptized by you. He says, and are you coming to me? No, why are you trying? Why are you putting me in this situation? Other translations say this in different ways. Some say that John forbade him to be baptized. Others say that he tried to stop him. There's one translation I want to just quote to you this morning. John, it says here, he tried to make him change his mind. He tried to get Jesus to change his mind. You know, why should you be baptized? Jesus, you baptize me instead. But here we see in the scriptures that Jesus immediately says, hold on, John, hold on. I've got something to say to you. Now, why was John going through this whole situation of, Jesus, you need to baptize me. I shouldn't be baptizing you. I want to... If you can just back up a few verses. I didn't give you this one, Joe. We'll just go back to verse 11. Look what it says here. This is what John was saying to those that came out to him to be baptized. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, because you've repented of your sin. I baptize you because you've repented. He says, but there is one coming who is mightier than I. And he says, and I'm not worthy to carry. He says, there's one coming who's better than I, mightier than I. He says, and I'm not even worthy to carry his sandals. That was John's problem. What he was actually doing is making himself there, so I'm not even worthy to carry the sandal of the one who's coming. Very much like we often say, oh, I'm not worthy that God would do that for me. I've heard people pray this prayer, oh Lord, I'm just so unworthy. I'm so unworthy. Now, I know we say it out of good intentions sometimes, because that's the way we feel. But that's not, you know, did you know you were worthy enough for Jesus to come and die for you? Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
When God looked upon the earth, even when we were still sinners, the Bible says in Romans 5 verse 8, Christ died for us. Amen. Even when we were still sinners, even when we were rebels, even when we were against Him, even when we turned our back on Him, God counted us still worthy enough to come and die for us. But here John tries to stop Jesus. And this is the overflow of his heart. This really is coming out of where he is. He's in that state where he's making himself so unworthy. I can't even carry his sandals. I'm not worthy to bear his sandals. I think another translation says, another reference says, I'm not even worthy to latch his shoes, to do up his sandals. And this is just the overflow. He said, I need to be baptized. Why? Because I'm so unworthy. I can't do this, Jesus. I can't baptize you. I'm not worthy enough to baptize you. This is his, what's in his heart. But Jesus stops that. He says, okay, John says, stop. He says, just let it be for now. Permit it to be so for now. And what he's telling John to do is, actually John, just humble yourself and do what you are told. I'm asking you to do something for me. He said, just do it, without complaining, without objecting, without digging up all the past. He said, just do what I'm asking you to do. Submit yourself to this request. Why? Because that is humility. Submitting yourself to what God says. Now he goes on to say, look, he says, this will fulfill all righteousness. If you do this, he says, this will fulfill all righteousness. What is it he's asking him to do? Baptize him? No, he's asking him to submit to his request. He says, when you submit to my request, he says, this will fulfill all righteousness. Being humble, having humility, it's the right and proper way for us to fulfill righteousness. Come with me very quickly to Romans chapter 12. Keep your place in Matthew. Come to Romans 12, because it says this. In Romans 12 verse 1, it talks about what we must do as saints of the living God, as the people of God, as the children of God. And Paul writes to the church and he says this, and we've got to take this as God speaking to us. Therefore, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. He said, our reasonable service, our reasonable duty to God is that we present ourselves as a living sacrifice. What does that mean? A life submitted and surrendered to God, not to ourselves. Have you ever heard people say this? You hear it a lot amongst the younger people. My sister used to be one for saying this all the time, and it used to frustrate my mother and father. particularly my father, something chronic. She said, well, it's my life, I can do what I like. It's my life. Now, those of you that know my mum, or knew my mum and know my father, this is what they had to do with my sister below me, the one below me. I'm number one, she was number two. I can do what I like because it's my life. Whereas, I was probably the other way around. Because they were telling you that, well, I was always the good one. I was the one that wanted to go to church when everybody else wanted to stay at home. Have you ever met a boy like me? One Wednesday evening, my father left the house to go to the service. Now, he had to be there because he was the pastor. And he was leading the service, and I was in my bedroom, I finished my homework, I was getting ready to go to church. And yet he left and left me in the house. And you don't know how upset I felt that night. Why? Because I wanted to go to the house of God. Now, I was only 11 or 12 years old. But he left me behind. My mother didn't go because she had the babies, the younger ones, but I wanted to go, and he left me at home. I wanted to, that was me, that was my life, that's the way I was. But my sister, it's my life, I can do what I like. And we hear that, and that's wrong. It's not our life, we cannot do what we like if we are children of God. Why? Because we should live a life that's totally surrendered to Him. We live a life of submission. Now, what we actually have here is John did surrender to Jesus. He baptized him. And the scripture says in verse 16 of Matthew 3, if you go back to Matthew 3, it says, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him. Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon him. And he hears this voice that came from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, if you know anything about John the Baptist, you'll know that John the Baptist was a man who, when he was asked if he was the Christ, he says, no, I'm not the Christ. I'm not the coming one. I'm not the prophet. Well, who are you? They asked him. And John used to quote the prophet Isaiah. And he said, look, he says, who am I? I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. That is my calling. That's my commission, to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. And part of that calling, part of that what he heard from God, he got from the scriptures, God also told him this. You can see this in John 1:33, John's Gospel chapter 1 verse 33. He's telling somebody else. And John recounts an occasion when God spoke to him. And he said this. He says, look, he says, I did not know him. But he who sent me, the Father, he who sent me to baptize with water, said to me these words, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. This is he. The one whom you see the Holy Spirit come down and remain upon him. This is the one. The one whom he's preparing the way for. The one whom he's being called to forerun. That's the forerunner of. Now, I've said that because I want us to go to Matthew 11, just because, do you remember what I said at the beginning? Humility is submitting to what God says about us. So come with me to chapter 11. This same man we've been talking about, John. This one who had seen the Holy Spirit come down upon Jesus. This one who self-proclaimed himself to be as the forerunner of the Christ. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Because it says here in Matthew 11, it came to pass. This is verse 1. It came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and we just read, upon whom you see the Spirit of God descending, this is the one. Now John's in prison and he sends messengers to Jesus to ask him, are you the coming one? John slipped somewhere. There's a problem somewhere here. Now, I don't know where he's gone wrong. I don't know what's gone on in his life. Now, I know he's not had it good. He's not had it easy. He's in prison because he was preaching the gospel. He was telling, actually, he stood face to face to the king and told the king that he was a sinner and he shouldn't do what he did. And that upset the woman, and she badgered the king and they had him put in prison. And if you know what happened to John, now this woman, Salome was the daughter, but this woman had looked for every opportunity to have John put to death. And then her daughter danced and she got what she wanted. But that's another message. Here John sends a message, are you the coming one? Now, just read on. It says in verse 4, it says, Jesus answered and said to them, I want you to go and tell John. Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. And then it goes on in verse 7, it says, as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John. Now, they've gone back to John, and Jesus begins to tell the crowd that are listening, and he says some remarkable things about John. Let me just read some of them to you. In verse 9, he says of John, what did you go out to see, a prophet? He says, I tell you, John is more than a prophet. In verse 10, it says, he is my messenger. In verse 11, Jesus went on to say that there wasn't a prophet greater than John. He was the greatest of the prophets. And then in verse 14, for those of them that understood the scriptures, Jesus said, look, if you really believe this and you really want to know, he says, John is Elijah who is to come. Now what he's actually saying there, John is the fulfillment of the prophet Malachi. You can read it in Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. Don't you think that would have been good?
Yes.
But why did he send the disciples away? He sent the two messengers away. They didn't hear those good things that Jesus said. They didn't hear that they could have said, John, he said to you, you're the greatest of the prophets. You know, you are the messenger. You are the one who's to prepare the way. He said, go and tell John the things you see and hear. Tell him what you've seen and what you've heard. What's happened today? Now, if you was in prison and you was and you was doubting a little bit, and the messengers came back to you, what do you want? What would you rather hear? That the blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing, or let alone the greatest of the prophets? Most of us, if we're honest, we'd like to be pampered a little bit. You're the greatest of all the prophets. But actually, what that would have done for John would have been far worse, because it would have built up his ego. It would have been, oh, I'm the best. I'm the greatest. I'm the messenger, the one. Hey! And he's into pride. But John has learned the secret of submission. And what Jesus actually said to him is this. We haven't got time to go there, but I can give you the scriptures if you want them afterwards. Just go back and look at some of the prophecies of Isaiah. Isaiah 29, if you want to write that down, verses 18 and 19. Isaiah 35, verses 3 and 6, or 3 to 6. Isaiah 61, verse 1. I can give them to you again. Isaiah 29, verses 18 and 19. Isaiah 35, 3 to 6. Isaiah 61, verse 1. These are just three prophecies from Isaiah. And in those prophecies, do you know what it says? It says, on the day that the Lord comes, the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the lame will walk, the poor will have the gospel preached to them, and those who are not offended because of me are blessed. Amen. Do you know what Jesus was telling John? He wasn't telling him he's the greatest prophet. He wasn't telling him that he's the messenger to come. He wasn't telling him that he's going to be, he was Elijah, the fulfillment of the prophecies. He was telling John, he says, John, he says, go back to the word of God.
Amen.
Because John knew those prophecies, because he said from Isaiah 40 that I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He said, embrace wisdom. Now, I know this to be true because many Christians, when you ask them to do something, you ask them to volunteer for something, you ask them to do something in the church, they say, what? I'm waiting for God to speak to me. I'm waiting for some angel to come and say, this is what you've got to do. They're waiting for some prophetic utterance to say that this is their calling in life. And they'll be trying to be humble. Well, I don't want to step out of line with what God has for me. So I'm waiting for him to tell me. Actually, what the Lord is saying here, he says, actually, God says, it's not measured in what you think, it's not measured in what any angel might say, and don't misunderstand me when I say this, it's not measured in anything that the Holy Spirit might say to you through a prophetic word or a gift of the Spirit. We go back to the Word. Because what humility is measured by is what God says and what God has already said in his word. If we hear, accurately judge, and then act upon what God has said, that's humility. That's walking in wisdom. You know, we had somebody in our church once. They were, whenever you ask them to do something, give a testimony or go out on the streets, or whatever it was in church. Said, well, God hasn't told me. Hasn't he? What's he told us in his word? That we're all evangelists. We're all to go into the world and preach the gospel. We don't need some special announcement from heaven that that's what we're going to do, because it's already recorded. We do what God has told us to do. We submit ourselves to those that are higher than us, to the leadership in the church. If they ask us to do something, we submit ourselves under God and say, okay, Father, I'm doing this for you. It's not because of me, not to build myself up, but because of you. because I want to serve you. I love you. I'm committed to you. And I will do whatever you ask me to do. And whether that comes through a pastor, through some other person asking us, if it lines up with the word of God, we can safely say that God has spoken. That's humility. Surrendering to him in all things.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.